Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, ladies and gentlemen. Liverpool played Manchester United after they went through in the Champions League. Spurs played Burnley, they're through as well. And Man City face Everton. Good tidings, good greetings, everybody.
Football, 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 football.
I was sat at home and I was like, I wonder who Newcastle are playing this weekend. And I looked and I thought, yes, I can watch that. Huddersfield.
Do you want to know how serious we're taking football on this preview show this week?
What?
Pete Donaldson is wearing a football shirt in the studio. Yeah. Possibly the sweatiest box in all of London.
Yeah.
He wants to draw that sweat away from his body and cool himself down.
Exactly.
And it is a Japanese football team.
Of course it is.
Tokyo Verde.
Tokyo Green.
Weren't always called Tokyo Verde. They're called something else.
Tony Verde.
Tony Verde.
Tony Tokyo.
Lovely old job. But Newcastle, they are playing this weekend because it's a full round of Premier League. Do you sometimes think
the Premier League compliment?
The Premier League don't leave them out every now and then.
No, but I think Newcastle, much to the chagrin of the fans, are always kind of like Monday night, Sunday afternoon, and there's very few 3 o'clock kickoffs for Newcastle at the moment because you'll see goals on it either.
You've got to consider playing Wolves being on Sunday as on the telly
as a super
particularly
Sunday.
Unlucky.
You saw sending off, you saw a goal,
but you
or
say
two.
You can look forward to watching Newcastle. I mean, that is a little bit premature from you because they are playing away from home. So who knows what could happen?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that one in a little while.
Yeah, we've got to run in order there, Pete. So it's always the same, mate.
Well, you bring up all sorts of nonsense at the start.
Like your shirt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tokyo Verde are not in the running order. Again.
They are in mine.
How are they getting on, though?
Well, they're in J2, aren't they?
They don't exist anymore, do they?
How are they getting on? They're in J2, aren't they?
Forget about them.
Fair weather.
My team's Venfre Kofu, anyway.
You don't even know which league
Peter,
they're in.
Peter, do they exist anymore?
Yes.
Have they got a different name, though?
No, I think it's still Tokyo Verde.
Oh, okay. Right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Premier League time. Mm. Enough of the Japanese League chat. I think we covered that comprehensively.
Mm.
Manchester City face Everton. This one gets the Premier League's weekend action up and running. Pep will be keen to get back to winning ways in the league. They won in the Champions League, of course, Jim, but last time out, they lost to Chelsea.
They did, yeah, but they're a relentless winning machine, aren't they? And they've got back to winning ways in the Champions League, as you say, so I think they'll probably be fine. Although that said, Everton do all right against them. I think they've scored the most goals against Pep Guardiola's Everton in the league. Although I have a history of confusing stats with Everton.
Did you say Pep Guardiola's Everton?
There you go. Perfect example.
Okay.
We talked about last time Man City got beaten. They then just last season not last time I got beaten, but when they had a difficult result, they then just went on to bludgeoning their way to the league.
Yeah.
But they didn't have anyone breathing down their neck at that point.
No.
And Liverpool are much better this season than they were last season, of course.
Well, Liverpool are holding their heads down under the water.
Exactly.
Mm. While also wedging them a bit.
Are they really though? Because they're only
by Man City standards.
They're 1 point ahead. If anything, they're threatening to report them to the pool lifeguard for bombing.
They're not properly drowning them.
They're
flicking match heads at them.
Yeah. Yes.
They're getting their McDonald's straw and blowing the paper covering off of
there. But the thing is, they were doing that up to now, and now a bigger boy's come along that's won loads of European trophies.
But ages ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
this bully's brother did that.
Let's face it, Everton at the moment are in full self-harm mode. They are just unbelievably good at muffing things up. They did against Watford. They did against their rivals, Liverpool. Man City may not need to win this match. They may not have to win this match. Everton could just sort of...
I know what you mean, but they salvaged a point, though, against Watford. They sort of muffed it up, but then they just about patched it up.
They only drew against Newcastle at home.
Ooh.
That tells its own story.
Exactly.
That is a good
We'll have
point.
More on Everton later on. Now, you know that the cast, the shadow cast by the Curse of the Rodden family is a very long one indeed, the shadow. Mm. And as a result, it's become...
This is for betting purposes.
Yeah, it's become not the done thing to go near Everton when you get selected for the best bet.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All I will say is there's more on that later.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cheeky little insight.
Yeah, a little cheeky, little teaser trailer for you.
Little teaser,
But man, there's talk of Fernandinho being a doubt for this game. And I think that's probably the most interesting part of this from Man City's point of view, because I think regardless of the chat's gone on there, I think you have to fancy Man City to win this.
Obviously.
The reaction that Guardiola will go for from his team will obviously be as every bit as obsessive as you would expect.
Yeah.
But for that area of the pitch for Man City where Fernandinho is operating is probably the one area, apart from maybe the goalkeeper, where they don't have a decent quality backup of that level.
Certainly not in a like-for-like sense.
No, and all that's been made of De Bruyne and everything, I know Man City are second, and this time last season they were winning the league, and they're going to be driven hard for it this year, I understand that, but De Bruyne has been missing, and it's not really you can make a decent quality argument, which I would agree with, that they would be doing better, even better, with De Bruyne.
Yeah.
But you can't say it's properly harmed them.
No.
But if
to be honest with you, I've not forgotten about him, obviously, because he's a brilliant player, but at no point this season have I really thought, oh, they really missed De Bruyne.
No, and but do you think that would be the case if, say, Fernandinho had missed the amount of time that De Bruyne has missed?
Quite possibly, but we don't know, because if he put De Bruyne back there, then it gives them another dimension. They lose something, but they gain something, you know, and De Bruyne played in a more deeper position than he's played at times and throughout his career last season, and it was very successful. So it's difficult to say, but I do take the point. I think Fernandinho is a very important player. I mean, I think, is he in his last year or the second last year of his contract? They will need to fill that position more adequately soon, because I don't think they still have Gareth Barry in the squad. I think
Gone. Yaya Toure has just left Olympiakos, so he will be available.
What an illustrious time he had there. Yeah. Future Olympiakos Hall of Famer Yaya Toure.
It man's had a fine career,
He has, he absolutely has. Everton, though, is an interesting case, because clearly have got the manager they've wanted for a long time. He's a talented manager. Every player ex-player you speak to says if they've worked with him or know people that have worked with him that he's top class as a coach and a trainer. But they are a bit inconsistent, and I think maybe it's a bit early in Silva's tenure to do what he wants to do, purely because they bought a lot of players. Mm-hmm. They had a bit of a transition when Big Sam Allardyce was there, and that's not what they wanted.
Still feeling their way around that.
Yeah, if you look at their last six games, they've won a couple, drawn three, and lost one. Mm. And it's a sort of a upper mid-table bit of form that, and if they've got ambitions to finish above Manchester United, which we talked about last week, and we think they should have that ambition, they're going to need to be a bit more consistent. However, clearly, they're not going to be expecting to go to Man City and win the game.
No. In a sense, though, is this not the perfect time for Everton to play City? I mean, it's never ideal to go to the Etihad, is it? But this is a project. They are working on it. They're still ironing certain things out. So this one's almost like a free hit.
You know? I think it's the worst time, because they've just been beating Man City. If they hadn't been beaten...
I mean, more from an Everton point of view.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, but Man City will have a big say in that.
I just think, it's never a good time to face them. I would say it was better than worse. We'll certainly see.
Do you know what I want to play them? If I could choose, as a manager of a Premier League team, when to play Man City away, I'd want to play them on the first day of the season.
Yeah.
No, because all bets seem to be off on the first day of the season.
Yeah. Or at the end of March when they've probably
won the league. Yeah,
yeah, true. Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, they're just playing like, dinner ladies.
I think that the reason perhaps you're saying, Jim, is because they've recently been beaten in the league, and Chelsea kept a clean sheet. Everton, I think, went to Chelsea and drew 0-0, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
If I was Marco Silva, I'd be saying,
so we've already won, effectively.
At least we've got a point in the bag. Can we make it through? No, I would say that they're beatable because a team has beaten them.
Well, Richarlison, I agree with Silva. I think he probably will score over 20 goals this season. Yeah. He's only got 7. He's missed a couple of matches out with injury. I think he's if he gets a chance, he invariably takes it.
He fell away quite badly last season, didn't he?
Due to fitness and whatnot.
Some players do that.
Well, we talked about it before when he'd played a lot of the Brazilian season throughout the summer and hadn't really had a rest, so he was going straight through. So in terms of the physical, there was a decent reason. It could be other reasons as well. Obviously, Silva got sacked and another manager took over and perhaps didn't get the best out of him. So I said it was a combination of things, but the fitness thing I don't think can be easily ignored.
Yeah, well, let's hope that that's the case for him this season and he sort of has a more consistent end to the season. But what I mean about Everton in terms of how I think this is maybe a good time to face City is that they're an ambitious club. And they should be welcoming challenges like this. You know, this is how they're going to sort of see how good they are in terms of, you know, the best team in the league. I mean, they're sat in seventh. Like they're doing well. Compared to the last couple of seasons they've had, this is great. This should be, you know, music to the ears of the Evertonians.
We should say that they got a point at City last season. Drew 1-1.
Thanks to old Wazza.
They've done well. They've done well against Pep Guardiola's themselves.
And Everton are a big 12-1 to win at the Etihad this weekend. £10 with Bet365 returns £130, including stake. If you cast your mind back to the season before last, at Goodison Park, admittedly, but they were able to meet Man City 4-0, Everton. Goals from Lukaku, Morales, Tom Davis, and a young Ademola Lookman.
How long ago
but
was that?
But you're still
that,
young, really.
Yeah, I just think with Everton, they've got a settled midfield with a bit of running, with a bit of steel. They should have kept a clean sheet at Anfield. I think they might make life a little bit difficult for Manchester City. Imagine, I don't think they'll win, but I think they could make the life difficult.
If they got even just a draw, imagine like the rubbish that'll be talked about Man City in the paper.
Rubbish.
Exactly. It's funny, they seem to handle that well, though, don't they? Because they're also like profoundly on the same page.
Yeah.
They just move on from it.
And they're also ridiculously expensive footballers as well.
True enough, Peter. Let's turn our attention to Tottenham versus Burnley. Spurs are through to the knockouts of the Champions League, much like Manchester City, of course. They did it a more difficult way than Manchester City. They nearly buggered it up, but Lucas Moura and PSV Eindhoven made sure they went through. Oh, Spurs. I was very pleased for them, I have to say.
Are Spurs spursing up being spursing?
It's getting a bit meta
now.
I mean?
Yeah, that's very meta.
But you know, the performance that they put in against, admittedly, a team with a lot of change in Barcelona. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really count as an achievement, does it? I agree.
Couldn't even win the game.
Well, we'll see how Arsenal get on tonight, Jim, won't we?
Yeah, we'll see.
In the dead rubber.
Yeah. In many ways, which is the best way to watch Arsenal. but, you know, I re-watched this game this morning, and, I mean, Spurs were really good.
They were.
Yeah, they were.
It's interesting.
They should have won the game.
The reason I rewatched it is because Guillaume Balaguer, I looked at his Twitter feed and he said, this is without any doubt, one of the best performances from a foreign team in the Camp Nou for many, many years. Struggling to remember a team that was so good in many ways here. Mm. Then he said, Bayern beat Barcelona 3-0 at the Camp Nou, who didn't have Messi in 2013. And it's their only defeat in 5 years in Europe. And that was not even as good a performance as Spurs' performance was.
It's worth noting as well that Cillessen was absolutely superb. It's not like...
He made so many good
really
saves.
Like, it's not as if Spurs like were blasting over the bar or like, you know, not fashioning clear chances. Like, it was a really, really good performance from them.
They missed a couple of chances. I thought Dembele's pace against...
That goal was unbelievable.
What a goal.
A lot of that has been said about it being a mistake from Kyle Walker-Peters, but that's a bit unfair.
It was just pisser, wasn't it?
He got caught in possession.
He got caught in possession. Yeah, but I just think he just couldn't turn quick.
His body shape was because he got caught in possession, his body shape was wrong, which meant he had no chance of being able to get up to full pace before Dembele was past him. That's basically what it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But when you say Spurs almost buggered up, do you mean they had so many chances that they should have?
Because if Inter had beaten PSV at home, they'd have gone through.
Eriksen should have scored.
That's why Spurs nearly buggered it up, because Spurs, so the point is Spurs had chances to take the lead, because Dembele scored so early on. They had chances. Even when they got 1-1, Rose smashed one over the bar, which he might have done
that
better.
That was a great move as well.
It was a superb move. And I'm saying that if Tottenham miss that amount of chances, then they're going to struggle in the knockouts. Mm. And Inter are better than PSV. Inter should be through based on how the games panned out and how that last match
was. But you said, we talked a bit about Inter from Inter's point of view yesterday on the continent, which is of course out now. You said that you're at the Spurs Inter game at Wembley and Inter deserve everything they get because of the lack of ambition they showed against Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if they had beaten them, it would have been done, wouldn't it? Mm.
Completely, yeah. So, I mean, they pretty much... James Horncastle said that Inter didn't play for a point. He just said Spurs were so good that Inter couldn't get out. And he may have a point there. And that's the thing. That's why I was very pleased to see Spurs. As I said, I'm a bit old-fashioned with wanting English clubs to do well. But also, I'd like to see how Spurs can progress because they were exciting last season. Of course, Juventus beat them. But I think the Champions League is actually reasonably open, especially compared to recent seasons.
Yeah.
Real Madrid are not the side they were. Barcelona, they're still flipping brilliant.
But they can see
goals. They're not the side they were.
Bayern all over the shop.
Bayern are not the side they were.
That was a mad game. Did you see that? The Bayern-Ajax game.
Oh, real. What entertainment that was, And Ajax were very nearly.
So on that note then, do you think because of all the stuff that's going on in the Premier League this season, you've got this big Liverpool, can they do it type chat, Man City being defending champions, Chelsea have got a new manager and have started really well, compared to what we expect, Arsenal on this mad unbeaten run. Do you think what Spurs have done, given that they're 2 points above both Chelsea and Arsenal, made no signings in the summer, have got through a very difficult Champions League group, admittedly by the skin of their teeth.
No, but they've got through it.
You know, you take that with the teams in it.
He's done, I mean, Pochettino has continued to do an amazing job. And you don't even, and that's before even mentioning all this uncertainty around their stadium and the amount of away games they've had to play. They're still sitting there on 36 points after 16 games, 2 points ahead of Chelsea, Arsenal, and 10 points ahead of Man United. We know they've had their problems, but even so, that speaks for itself.
His net spend is something like 40 million, isn't it? The time he's been, it's absolutely phenomenal.
I think Spurs, now they're through, they could have a similar season to what Liverpool had last season, in the sense that maybe not win the league, because it does look like Man City and Liverpool are the best two, and you'd expect that to continue, but who knows? But they could go deep in the Champions League. They really could. And the way they play, it's exciting stuff. Inter struggled against them, as we just said. They were brilliant at the Nou Camp, as Guillaume Balaguer said as well. I think that this is the season, surely, where Spurs actually really go further in a few competitions, maybe even win a domestic trophy, something like that. I'm really, sort of quite excited.
So much depends on the draw they get, I suppose, doesn't it?
Well, that is a problem, because the teams that they will face, I mean, you know, it'll be one of Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid or Porto. However, Spurs, I think, would... I mean, they won't play Barcelona, sorry. They won't play one of those sides. But I don't think they should be that scared of any of those teams.
No. Well, I don't think they are either. That sort of characterises the way they play under Pochettino.
Well, Danny Rose said that, didn't he? He's either in post-match yesterday or around the press around the game. He said that the mentality that Pochettino has instilled in that team has been a huge part of how they're able to do what they're able to do. If you look at the games, I mean, I know that I think Pochettino got it wrong against Arsenal personally, and we've talked about that. But
disagree.
But other than that, I mean, if you take that game out of the equation, I mean, they've won 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 games and had a draw since they lost to Man City.
They haven't drawn in the league yet.
No,
really interesting.
Yeah, they haven't. Yeah, they're doing really, really well, and I think they're in a way, there's a chance that because of this idea that a lot of people want to pin a trophy to a team to say that's what they won in that tenure, there's a chance that what Pochettino has achieved there in delivering them to a new stadium and achieving all the, improving them so much, because there's been so many other big stories around Guardiola's Man City, Klopp's Liverpool, Man United's implosion, it might go a bit underappreciated in time, I think. But anyway, you'd fancy them to beat Burnley this weekend.
You would.
Burnley are 12-1 with Bet365. To win £10 returns, £130 including stakes. So another team that's 12-1 to win.
Backs to the walls for Burnley. You'd think
it will be, and this is not the Burnley of the last season or the season before, is it?
Or even last week where they kept a clean sheet, perhaps.
Well, it could be. Maybe they turned a corner, Mark.
But that's very true.
They're only 2 points off relegation, Burnley.
All right, ladies.
And we said at the start of the season they might struggle.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's backs to the walls now, because it's time for emails with PTD.
Oh no, not the beast! Not the beast!
You've got mail.
Send us your bee-related emails. shortthefootballramble.com. Hello.
Bring us some honey.
Bring us some honey. We're full of honey. Hello to Nathan Angus. Hello, chaps. On listening recently and hearing stories of people being egged by footballers, I thought I'd tell you a story of having a footballer throw something at me and my friends. The year was 1993. A young player by the name of Chris Bart Williams was starting to gain some attention and breaking into the first team at Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield Wednesday's finest,
Because of our route home from school, we would often see different football players, and once saw Chris Waddle, Nigel Pearson, Carlton Palmer, David Hurst and Viv Anderson in a pub, but that's a story for another day.
So 90.
Let's just have a no-deal Brexit. We'll be fine.
Yeah, so Waddler. The Waddler's got involved.
The Waddler's got
involved. Is that World Cup 1990 squad the most Brexit squad ever?
I think Gary Lineker balances it out, though.
Yeah. He's one man.
David Platt's with Lineker.
Yeah, somebody on the WhatsApp group said, once you've had a taste of a biscotti, you never go back. So you reckon that David Platt is definitely...
He looks back at his time in Serie A with too much fondness to ever be Brexit.
Yeah, exactly. We would sometimes see Bartman driving along the roads of Sheffield, and he wasn't hard to spot because he drove a black BMW with the number plates of Bart on it. 8-A-R-T. Being around the ages of 12 or 13, we would often shout to the Bartman and see if he would wave at us. He never did. So to the day of the incident, it was a cold day in the middle of winter and we were walking home from school. It had been snowing for 2 days. I think you know where this is going. Cars were driving past very slowly as there was lots of traffic due to the weather. As we were walking home, we spotted his car and started shouting him. There was no response, and through the illegally tinted windows, we could just make out that he was staring straight ahead. Being the ingenious person I was, I thought I had a great idea how to get our hero's attention. I made up a snowball, and after making sure it was perfectly formed and a little bit icy, I launched it at Chris Bart Williams's window. The ball hit it with quite a thud, at which point he wound the window down and we all started waving at him, expecting him to be happy to see some of his fans. His face showed that we were wrong. The first words to come out of his mouth were, "Who the fuck threw that?" At which point my friends all pointed at me. He then got out of his car and started marching towards us. I quickly started to move away and he started picking up snow and launching snowballs at us, calling us little pricks before storming back into his car and driving off quickly.
Oh, that wasn't... I thought he was going to go over there and, like, knock him about a bit. But, but throwing snowballs back...
Knock him about a bit! I wouldn't be reading it out if I was, you know... An alleged assault on a child
then
by Chris Bart Williams.
Then he about like a ragdoll.
Okay, I may not have been completely serious there, Peter, but the point is, I was rather relieved and pleased that he got involved with throwing the snow as well.
Yeah, and then the emailer started it.
Yeah.
It sounded so like this was going
to
be
a harrowing
story.
I mean, you can reasonably expect it to have been a bit more violent than that, because Chris Bart Williams, from what I remember, was quite tough.
Yeah,
he's quite a tough, like, defensive midfield type player.
Mm. Well, the following season, Bartman left Sheffield Wednesday to go to Forest, conveniently before the winter came, which we couldn't help but wonder was our fault.
Yeah, but I mean, he's moved from Sheffield to Nottingham there, which is about, 20 miles or something. So not a huge change, is it?
Hello to Tim from Boston. He was the guy who had a go at me saying that my puns were stale. But he's come back with...
They always come crawling back.
You know how I hate puns? I quite like these ones, though. I took a theme from a recent show and put together an all-egg 11, right? You love puns, so I don't know what that noise just came out of your mouth was all about.
It was like a lazy prince. You know, when he goes, it was like...
It's like that.
That's getting clipped.
They'll never know it's me.
Jens Lehmann.
Okay, yeah.
Gary Devild.
What player is that?
Gary Neville.
Oh, okay.
Mamadou Krakow.
Yeah.
Okay. Hatcho Monreal.
Oh, yeah, I like
good.
That.
That's good, that.
That's it.
Tom Letterly.
Cleverly. That is an absolute shoehorn.
What's Letterly, though?
Let me have a look at how's it spelled.
Letter and then Lee, L-Y. Letterly.
Don't know.
No.
Listeners are going mad.
No, but this is the one that caught my eye. Joe Cholesterol. Andreas in Anesta.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's probably the best one yet.
Juan Roman Richelme.
He's done Shell twice. Shell twice there.
Has he?
That's all right.
No, he hasn't.
I don't know if he has.
I don't think he did Shell twice.
Oh, okay.
Romelu Lukaku. El Hadj Coop.
Yeah, that's
poor. And finally for now, Diego Forlan.
We're going to get...
It's an odd formation, a very narrow 3-4-3, but we all know that egging is a mostly offensive mindset.
We need to put it out there right now. Mm. You are going to be absolutely inundated with pun 11s now.
We don't. Yeah. No, we do anyway, and I don't...
We're not going to read them out, so don't bother.
He has put some poachers to throw on late in the game. Ole Gunnar Yorkshire and Javier Chicharito Hernandez. And Hen Goran Eriksson would be obviously managing.
Hen Goran Eriksson.
There you go.
That's nice. His face lit up then.
Yeah. Save yourself with the finish there.
Marcus was almost asleep. Hen Goran Eriksson.
Yeah. I want to see Marcus go full prince in the middle of Kiss.
Only wearing purple.
I'd love that. Extra Sven and your...
In a purple velvet suit.
To be honest,
a
ruffled shirt. I would do Kiss more like Tom Jones did.
Yeah, of course you would. Oh.
That's my Tom Jones impression.
Everyone pray silent for Marcus's Tom Jones impression.
Ooh.
That sounds like... That's, no.
It's good. It's very good. It's so succinct.
What's he doing in that impression?
Anything. That's all the noise he makes these days.
It sounds like his Nelson Mandela just shortened.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, there is a bit of crossover. There's a Venn diagram I'm imagining in my mind.
Similar Martin has got in touch on the emails. Evening, chaps. It's actually quite an interesting point. I don't know whether you guys are across this, but after watching another goal kick getting retaken after an Everton player stepped into the box, I was wondering, is there a rule to stop a team doing this to waste time? With more teams playing out from the back than ever before, this seems like a bit of a free pass if you're under pressure just to step in the box. Or on the flip side, is it an opportunity for that wily old Fox Warnock to spot a gap in the time-wasting market?
Martin's hit on something there, because I've heard that is being looked at. Someone was talking about it a week or so ago, because for clarity, everyone has to be outside. The ball has to leave the penalty area from a goal kick.
Right.
But if someone steps in or it doesn't, there's no punishment. It just has to be retaken. So Martin's absolutely right.
Well done, Mark.
If you're a team under the cosh, you could just do that a couple of times probably. You'd probably end up getting a booking for like unsportsmanlike behaviour or whatever.
For time wasting in general, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But
surely
there is,
it covers that.
But there is talk to change the rule which says actually that it's a pointless rule anyway and it shouldn't necessarily need to leave the penalty area. Probably because if it doesn't, you're putting yourself under pressure, not anyone else. So watch that space, I guess.
But also, I think he's talking about opposing players encroaching in the 18-yard box. Being
well, it could work either way, couldn't it?
Because you could just kind of stodge up the match.
It could work either way, yeah.
Sort it out.
Every team's time wasting.
Sort it out, FIFA. Goalkeepers have changed. If you want to get to the show, short at thefootballramble.com.
If you want to be a part of Pete's Boston Bee party,
you've got to get with his friends.
Nice.
Thanks very much. After the break, it's Liverpool versus Manchester United. See you in a minute.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers, Peter.
Cheers, Jeff.
It's the big one. It's Liverpool versus Manchester United. Sir Alex Ferguson's favourite fixture, some might argue. Liverpool are through to the last 16 of the Champions League themselves. Mo Salah with the goal against Napoli. Liverpool were very wasteful on the night. They nearly buggered it up as well. They needed Alisson to smother a shot from Milik right at the... That would have been such a sickener.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if Liverpool were 2-0 up and Milik had scored that, they would have gone out as well. But they didn't. They're through. That's the point. And as I said earlier, you know, to remind you of the teams they could face, Barcelona, Bayern, Borussia Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain, sorry, not Paris Saint-Germain, Real Madrid or Porto.
It's a good list of teams they could also not face as well, both times.
It is.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're second in the group. That's why they have to face some of the big boys, much like Manchester United as well.
But so much does depend on the draw in when it comes to to teams who actually have reasonable expectation to have a chance of winning the tournament. Mm. You have to get a good draw.
If you pull Porto out of that, you're laughing. Not Porto are rubbish, but
you're laughing. You'd
much rather Porto
long.
Than.
But the point I was just going to make was that sometimes, some years, it feels like even if you come second, it doesn't matter because other groups go the way you don't expect.
I should say that I've forgotten Juventus actually in that little list there that they could face as well.
Also, I mean, the next round isn't until what is it, February? So form is quite different by that point.
Yeah.
So it what looks like a bad good draw now can often be irrelevant by then.
Did you see some of the chat that Carragher was saying on, I think it was on Monday Night Football, about Liverpool, how Klopp has, you know, we talked about how he's reshaped the attack and focused on defence. And he's saying that Liverpool really struggled around, was it Christmas time or New Year last year?
Yeah, it was in January, was it?
Was it in January? I forget, the turn of the year. And he said, now, if you look at them, there's a lot of more squad rotation because they've got the squad to do it. Shaqiri's come in a lot. They've not been playing. They've not been going full throttle, essentially, like they did last season. Now, they didn't tire towards the end of last season. In fact, if anything, they kind of sped up. But, of course, the earlier season form meant that they were nowhere.
Well, they had to, didn't they?
Exactly.
I think that's been the case for the last two seasons.
And Carragher was saying that, he said Klopp is an even better manager than he thinks because he's actually reassessed a lot of stuff and seems to be putting it right now. And he said it'd be interesting in the second half of the season because I'd love to see Liverpool just
suddenly ramp up the gears again.
Yeah, if they can play like they did at the end of last season in the second half of this season, but keeping the clean sheets and keeping it tight at the back, I mean, they'll be phenomenal.
Yeah, there is this sense that they are sort of holding back a little bit. And, we've, you know, the firepower they displayed last season is still just there and ready for when it needs to be unleashed. What I find really interesting ahead of this game is that Mane, Salah or Firmino have never scored or assisted against Man United.
That's an incredible
in the Premier League.
Which,
yeah, it's actually
Is that a stat or is that another one of your stats?
It's from the Premier League's website.
Fair enough, though.
It's one of theirs.
Mo Salah was kept very quiet by Ashley Young, if I remember correctly, at Old Trafford last season. And Mourinho, when, I mean, I know this game's at Anfield, I believe, but when Liverpool were in full flow towards the end of last season, and certainly in the second half of the season, I remember Mourinho's Manchester United, they beat them 2-1.
Yeah, Rashford scored a couple, didn't
they? I think that's right. And he really, it was exactly what Mourinho loves to do, is to spoil the party for the opposition who are playing very attacking football. And he's great at doing that, to be fair to Mourinho. He's done it time and time again. This time round, they're away from home. Liverpool will play on the front foot, but they're not as we've just said, they're not as full throttled as they were. I'd be interested to see how Mourinho approaches it.
But last season at Anfield, it was 0-0. It was a massive anti-climax.
Yeah.
He spoilt that one as well, really, because he gave Liverpool a load of the ball.
Sure.
United only had like a handful of shots at best, from what I remember, and he spoiled that one as well.
Will Klopp play someone like, well, not someone like, will he play Shaqiri then in the game, who's been quite good at picking the lock and playing some...
It depends on how stubborn you think Mourinho is from the Man United side, because the situation is different. Last year, Man United were the second best team in the country. They came second. Mm-hmm. They finished above Liverpool, as we know. But this season, they're playing catch-up already.
Yeah.
So they are a good amount of points behind these other big teams, and they need to do something about that. So what it comes down to is whether you think Mourinho is so beyond caring that he'll try and do exactly what he did last season, given that he's playing against a team who are already 16 points ahead of them, and a draw isn't really going to do anything for their chances, or whether you think he's going to have to actually go for it. If he has to go for it, it could be a great game.
Well, it's an interesting insight into his mentality, isn't it, whether he goes for it or not? Because if you to take what he says at face value, which I know most of the time you shouldn't do, about how, you know, he was talking about the defeat at Valencia and he's learned nothing from that, and criticising his players again, and all this stuff that we got so used to him doing. Like, if he really believes in his team this little, then he will approach it as damage limitation, because he'll think a point is a really good result and try and set up to spoil it like that.
And then say, we're away from home against top of the league. It's a good point. Sort of thing.
I mean, what can I do? I've barely been able to sign a player, blah, 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 all that. It's just...
Do you fancy Paul Pogba to start?
No, I really don't. I think he'll probably try and make a point again, especially after, you know, some of the...
Well, did he not start the game against Fulham when they won recently? Well,
yeah, that's right.
But he has started a lot. He has started a lot. Aside from that, though, I mean, he started last night, of course, and he started, I mean, most of the games recently, hasn't he?
Well, did you see?
He didn't start against Arsenal, but then that was perhaps to use him as a weapon off the bench. I just feel like at this point they just bring the worst out of each other.
That's right.
Well, did you see the comments that one of Mourinho's close friends and former spokesman, Eladio Parameš, said recently, that Pogba was signed for commercial reasons? Now, that's been doing the rounds for a while, whether that's true or not.
I think that's an oversimplification of that.
Yeah, perhaps we shouldn't speculate on that. But he went on to say, without terriers like Matuidi and Kante at his side, he's virtually worth nothing on the field. Man United did not give Mourinho terriers despite advice to Ed Woodward last summer. So he's saying that with certain players around Pogba, he's not good enough.
But you've sort of intimated that as well in this season.
Well, Yeah,
you haven't gone to that extreme, but you have said that similar thing.
That's the issue, though, isn't it, Luke? It's the extreme of it. There's absolutely no way that Paul Pogba is useless without a certain type of player.
Exactly.
You're the manager. You've got to get the best out of him.
Completely.
And if you don't have what you need, then find a solution.
Yeah, Matic is a player that could surely play with Pogba. I mean, the midfield that Pogba played with at Juventus was a bit different. I mean, didn't have Arturo Vidal maybe, but Andrea Pirlo in his latter years was hardly a terrier, for crying out loud. So he can play in certain midfields. Also, we talked about Man City earlier. If they missed Fernandinho, he would be a miss. They would, you know, so sides, certain players complement other players. That's fine, but to say he's useless.
Well, I just think that Maria doesn't know what he wants. So the two examples I'll give for that is, one, that he's changed his team more than any other team in the Premier League this season, and two, that he's caught between two stools. You talk about what you said earlier is absolutely correct. He loves to spoil the party. He takes great pleasure from getting a 0-0 at Liverpool or squeezing out a 2-1 at home to Liverpool or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But he also is very aware of the tradition at Man United, and that he can't do that every week. You can't be manager of Man United in front of 76,000 fans every other week and stick a load of cloggers in midfield and expect to get away with it, despite what the results are, because Man City are so much better than that, and Liverpool have shown to be so much better than that this season as well. In addition to that, you've got a player like Paul Pogba, who does need clear direction, who does need to be looked after properly, and does need to be paired up with a decent manager who knows how to get the best out of him. Mourinho is never going to get on with him, because Mourinho wants to be the big star at the club he's at, and not Pogba. He's not a Deschamps who will just do whatever it takes. I mean, look at Deschamps in the summer. Changed it up, didn't he? Halfway through the World Cup or whenever it was. it's not working. I need a focal point. Put Giroud in there. He wasn't thinking, oh, Giroud's not good enough, so I'm not going to play him. He was saying, what's going to give me the best chance of winning the World Cup? That's what he did. And he let Pogba go on and express himself by, as this guy's saying, as of you said, Marcus, putting players around him to make him better. Mourinho's never going to do that.
Mourinho just reminds me of current day Billy Corgan refusing to play the hits.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know what's right, even if everyone hates it.
Well, that's not technically accurate because he's obviously gone back and reformed with James Iha and the rest of the band. So they are kind of playing the hits now. So update your references.
I mean,
Jim,
it's a figurative. You've comparison.
Taken it's an out of date comparison.
Man United are 7-1 with Bet365 to finish in the top four this season. £10 returns £80, including stake. And despite all this rage, Mourinho is still just a rat in a cage.
And
Pratt in a cage.
And a very
Pratt in a hotel.
a very good reminder there that Absolute Radio's Pete Donaldson is in the room.
He's the man. Pete plays the hits.
Exactly.
Whether you want him or not.
Damn right. I
as
just
long
think
as they're from Nickelback.
I just don't think Manchester United will be able to get past Alisson.
Yeah, he's a brick wall.
He is a brick wall.
And he is something that James Horncastle on the continent was banging the drum for all last season.
Uh-huh.
He's keeping Edison out of the Brazilian national team for a reason. He's the best goalkeeper in Italy, possibly the best goalkeeper in Europe. And I think Liverpool fans, because they saw him concede quite a lot of goals against them in the Champions League, there was probably, understandably, a little bit of sort of trepidation there. But clearly, he's been fantastic.
Yeah. And he's made his one mistake for the season as well, hasn't he?
It's done. As Klopp told us. It can't happen again. It's like chicken pox.
It is. Right then, let's go further down the table to Huddersfield versus Newcastle.
I didn't think we'd be featuring this match. That's why I mentioned it at the start. But you know,
didn't read running order. You know, okay.
If only I'd have made a note of it and sent it to you last night.
Never get this far.
Uh-huh.
Never get that far.
Peter, you're sitting there with a Japan Tokyo Verde Football Club top on.
Sixth in J League 2.
There we go. Is that what you've been doing the last 10 minutes?
Possibly.
Yeah, okay.
Well, their last results, 1-1, 1-0, 1-0, 1-1. Not high scorers.
Mourinho-esque. Newcastle, they've been looking at Japan Internetsu Richu Doan, who currently plays for FC Groningen in the Eredivisie. He was linked to Manchester City last summer and obviously deemed not good enough.
They need an attacking midfielder, don't they? They need to create something because they just look very flat.
The Benitez quote about it is mad.
Yeah, well, he said he was asked about his future and any potential signings. He says, when we talk about my future and what might happen, we're talking about the future of Newcastle United, not Rafa Benitez. The club signs players. I don't take them home with me.
Unless you're Andy Carroll going to Kevin Nolan's house.
You've been banging on about transfers for about a year and a half. Do you want this player or not?
I think he's... Well,
I think it was in general.
Why is he not supportive of Mike Ashley trying to save the British high street? I ask this question every week and I don't get an answer.
They were supposed to be in for Miguel Almiron over the pond. And he's apparently the greatest star in... And he's nearly said Nazzle. Where did that come from?
Atlanta. Is he the champion place for Atlanta?
He's incredible, kind of creative midfielder. Again, in a fairly poor league, that is up for debate. But basically, they're not willing to put their money in their pocket for that, so they're just going to go for loan deals again because Mike Ashley, once again, like a train on time, the one thing that's on time every time. Every time before he has to spend any money, he always says a takeover is impending, so he doesn't have to spend any money in the transfer window. And it's happened again, and we fall for it again.
It's like when Arsenal used to do it before the season ticket renewals. Mm. Oh, you won't believe what we're going for.
Yeah,
Ronaldo,
Julian Draxler
didn't happen every time.
Yeah, that was every transfer window for about 4 years.
Mm, uh-huh. Well, staying with Newcastle and Japan related news. Good news is that Yoshinori Mutu has not been selected for the Japan.
Yoshinori Mutu
going to the Middle East for the Asia Cup in January. So
it's the Newcastle effect. You just get dropped for your national team.
Yeah, well, he's free to stay and play for Newcastle.
He is. I mean, he's played no
time. He won't
time.
Be picked. In theory, that is absolutely correct.
He's behind Hosolu in the pecking order.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know about that.
Oh, we are down on Newcastle today, aren't we, Peter? Every other day.
In the Tour de France, if you're so far behind on a stage, they have this thing called the broom wagon, which sweeps you up, and you have to go in the back of the broom wagon and be driven back.
Yeah.
And
it's like, who drives it? Is it Andy Peterson driving the broom wagon?
Could be, yeah. Could be. Andy Crane. And it's seen as the biggest indignity to befall a cyclist. You only ever do it if you're injured or you're bonked or you're gone.
You're bonked.
Do they put you on the back of the car where the bikes are?
You have to wear a clown
like a dunce's hat.
Yeah. Or is it like the car the Pope drives around? Everyone can see you.
It's like that. And I would like to sort of tentatively venture that being behind Hosolu as a striker in the pecking order is the footballing equivalent to that.
Well, yeah. £5 million.
Yeah.
That's what it gets you.
That's what it gets you these days. That's what it gets Mike Ashley these days.
Salute.
What about Huddersfield, though? They're unlucky not to hold on for a point against Arsenal.
Yeah, they made it really difficult for Arsenal, didn't they? Yeah,
they did, but they've been dealt the bad news that Aaron Moy is out until February. Yeah, that is a blow.
That's a huge blow.
Big blow. Big blow indeed. Yeah, he'll miss the Asia Cup as well for Australia. It's sad for him. So they were going to miss him for a bit anyway, but obviously you'd rather him go to an international tournament than be injured. Captain Tommy Smith tore a hamstring as well. He's out until January. So bad news for Huddersfield, who have been showing a little bit more recently, trying to galvanise themselves and so on and so forth. But two big losses there. Mm. Will Newcastle capitalise, Peter? It's unlikely.
They don't generally take their chances, but if they should.
But they'll give it a go.
If they want to not be in the conversation when it comes to the relegation battle at the end of the season, they need to be winning those matches away from home.
Exactly. Neither of those teams have won their last three Premier League games. I think Huddersfield lost three in a row. But you're right, they did show a bit against Arsenal.
But they're the lowest scorers in the league. I think they've only scored 10 goals in 16 this season.
With Moy missing as well, that sort of creativity in the engine room is lacking.
And their best player is Philip Billing, as I said last week, and he's a defensive midfield player. He's really come of age this season from what I've seen, but he's not going to get you goals. He can do a bit of everything, but he's not going to score you 10, 12, 15 goals.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough for them. Newcastle 21-10 with Bet365 to win this game. £10 returns, £31 including stake, they do so.
I fancy a 3-1 Huddersfield after we've said all that.
Do you?
Really?
Why not?
Philip Billing hat-trick.
What
on his way to getting exactly 15 goals this season.
Best bet with Bet365, Luke Moore. Well, we've been waiting for this.
Steve's still in the hot seat.
Yes, Steve-o.
And I think I'll let him take up the mantle. And he says, nice to get off to winning ways last weekend, guys. I'm going to stick with the plan and play relatively safe. But I've seen enough of Man City's games in recent weeks.
Oh, Steve.
To know they're not playing that well. I might be mad, but my gut feeling is there could be a bit more mileage in opposing them before they click back into ruthless mode.
Steve, you daring bugger.
Marcus is gutted about this.
No, I'm sort of partly gutted, but partly like, this is brilliant.
I have to say, when I saw the email dropping, I was a bit disappointed. There's no real logic to my pick. Everton are a bad away side and haven't notched a victory at a Big Six club since December 2013. Backing them to win would be pushing our luck, but they can be the sort of team who can frustrate the top sides, and they've not lost in their last three visits to the Etihad.
Steve, what are you doing?
Liverpool should muller Man United in the Sunday afternoon game. Going off general form, it shouldn't be much of a contest, but United's recent record in the fixture overall is surprisingly good. I'm tempted to go for the home win, but could see Jose going 8 at the back again and spoiling for a point. With that in mind, we're going to go for a Merseyside double chance double.
Whoa.
So prick up your ears. This is what needs to happen. Everton and Liverpool, both of them, need to get a point or better in their games against both Manchester teams.
Blimey.
So it's Everton or draw and Liverpool or draw in the game. Bet365 offer odds of 4.25-1. So £50 returns £262.50, including stake. He says, I'll be back in touch this time next week to absolutely shellack the hat-trick into the top
locker. Tell you what, that is big licks from Steve. And I really want this to happen. So basically, as a collective, the two sides, if they get
Point or better.
2, 4, or 6 points between them.
Yeah, a point or better, for both teams. So, you understand what that is.
I'll
give you a quick recap. So it's a double chance double. Everton and Liverpool to draw or better in both their games.
Mm-hmm.
18 plus to gamble, of course. All proceeds to Prostate Cancer UK. Do gamble responsibly. BeGambleAware.org for more information on that. Good luck to you, Steve. The curse of the Rodden is a strong, strong curse to be taken seriously. But I respect you staring it down saying, I'm fed up of this. Could he not only get his second bet in a row, but lift the curse forever? Yeah. Find out this weekend. And there will be DVD extras.
I've kudos to you, Steve. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Good for you.
Yeah.
He's a daring better, and that's what we like. Okay, then, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Going for Gold.
Time for Gold.
So
the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you, what you to play. Because it's such a catchy song, you don't really sort of notice that one of the lines is people are coming. It's just unnecessary.
No, it doesn't need to say that.
People are arriving.
Why did you sing it like that then?
Yeah. Why don't we have the whole one, Pete? That's what I want to know.
The what, sorry?
The whole song.
We did 3 minutes before of it. Yeah,
it ticks all the boxes for me. Marcus, the listeners like it.
Marcus genuinely is going to have an aneurysm.
I like it. Marcus hates it. Yeah. Ticks all my boxes.
I thought it was all right.
I'd like to...
I just felt sorry for the listeners, but they can skip through it.
You know the idea that if you are so wealthy, you can literally do whatever you want?
Yeah.
Is
Pete nearly there?
Like a lottery lout.
Yeah, yeah, Bailey, like a lottery. So if I was that name, what's that guy's name?
Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll. I would, my personal dirt bike track at the back of my house would be Marcus's birthday. Sven-Göran Eriksson comes out the cake,
yeah,
and sings the whole of the Going for Gold theme. That would be mate. That would
be class.
And Todd grips the knife.
No, he's on the accordion, isn't he?
Oh yeah, accordion.
Absolutely. I would do the same, but not on your birthday.
Yeah, just any time.
I'd like to see how you reacted to that.
I'd be up for all of that.
Right, who sent the clues in this week, Pete? I won last week.
Tom Cluett.
Nice. Good name.
He might have emailed him before.
He sounds like a game show host.
Nominative determinism's Tom Cluett.
Yeah, and Luke and Luke said that he sounds like a Poirot kind of character.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it put him off emailing for a little while. That's all I'm saying.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Was he under investigation?
That's literally the aim.
Right. First clue. I was born 15th of April, 1986.
Ooh. Youngie.
Youngie?
Stop.
In his 30s.
Stop. I'm going to go for Jermaine Genius.
Incorrect.
Stop. I'll have Danny Osvaldo.
Incorrect.
I'll go for Bradley Wright Phillips.
Incorrect. My clubs include Manchester United, Royal Antwerp, Wycombe Wanderers, and Bristol City.
Oh, that's a good, very good clue. I feel like I should get it off that. Stop. Marcus wants me to say Ronnie Woolwork.
Incorrect.
No, that's not. I'm trying to think of the.
So, what were the clubs again?
Man United, Royal Antwerp, Wycombe Wanderers, and Bristol City.
Who was the keeper?
Oh, I think I might have it. I think I might well have it.
May I move on?
You can. Mm-hmm. I can't have another guess. So.
I have played in League Two, League One, the Championship, and the Premier League.
Yeah, we know that from the clubs.
Well, not necessarily.
I don't think I have.
Fat-headed idiot.
Yeah.
Tis the season. We know that because of the clubs.
Yeah. Shut up, Peter.
I was going to say, just because you can't edit good clues.
Yeah.
I can't edit good clues.
Tom Cluett, come on. Next.
I have 3 caps for my country, scoring 0 goals.
Stop. Is it Roy? No, it's not Roy Carroll. He's
Roy Carroll, much older than that. Muck.
He had more than 3 caps.
Was there Clayton Blackmore? Obviously, he's not
32-year-old Clayton Blackmore. Yeah. I'm going to Google how old Clayton Blackmore is because I think that might be the worst shout 45? In the history of this game.
45?
Not the worst shout.
Is it Pelé?
Yeah. He's 54. He's almost double the age.
In addition to this, I have appeared for England at all youth team levels.
Luke Chadwick's too old, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I won't say that one then.
Incorrect.
He didn't play for.
You named a player.
He didn't play for them anyway. He didn't play for Wickham.
I've not got anything else. So carry on.
Carry on.
we're assuming he's English here. I think he may well not be.
I won the championship in 2015-16.
Oh wow, that must mean
Bournemouth. Is that Bournemouth?
No, that was probably
after that, wasn't it? Yeah. Which was.
So, next clue. So,
hang on a minute. How could he have won the championship in 2015-16? What teams he's played for? May not have ruled out.
Yeah, but he might have left out some of the teams he played for.
Oh, okay. That's not the.
You got to remember that.
That's not the total. Okay, fine. Okay, carry on.
Thank you. I made my international debut as an 87th minute substitute, replacing Fraser Forster.
Yeah, I told you. I want to say stop.
Stop.
Ben Foster.
Incorrect.
Yeah, that was poor guess.
Wait, he's a goalkeeper. He's played for Man United.
Yeah, well, Ben Foster. Right? Yeah. Well, he's English.
This is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Is this the last clue?
Yeah.
No, you got one more.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Give us it.
Stop. Hang on, Jim's having a
clue. Oh, stop. I know.
Before the last clue.
I know it is.
Jimmo?
I know it is.
Jim.
I was going to say Tom Heath.
It is, yeah.
It is Tom Heath. Yeah.
Damn, I knew it. You were just ahead of me.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that might have been the worst timing of a guess that we've ever had on Going for Gold, then, mate.
54-year-old Tom Heaton.
From the beautiful South. Time is right. It's time for you. What you would have played a game. People are coming. Everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold. Lord. Can't all be screamers, can they?
No, they can't. Sometimes, Jim, you take a deflected one off your backside and just move on.
Well done, Jim.
Well done, Jimmo. And well done you, ladies and gentlemen, for making it this far in the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It is the end. You'll be pleased to know. My name's been Marcus Speller. He's been Luke Moore.
Keep a little lookout for a Christmas treat from the Football Ramble in your podcast feed.
Between, a real log.
Perhaps even every day. Between now and Christmas.
No Ooh. Way.
Yeah, well, you guys shouldn't be surprised, but I like the actors.
Yeah.
We've recorded three of them.
Yeah, sure. We recorded six of them, you idiot.
Have we?
Yes.
When did that happen? Was Carry I on. Sleep through it?
My goodness. Anyway, let me do that again. thanks very much. It's All been right. an absolute pleasure. Cheery bye.
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 This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.